From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. As the United Nations Climate Conference enters its second week in Katowice, Poland, U.S. President Donald Trump's administration saw fit to promote coal and other fossil fuels at a side event on Monday. Young climate activists from the U.S. were having none of it, and a group disrupted the COP24 coal event. They began by laughing when the speaker suggested that fossil fuels were important and then broke into a coordinated chant of keep it in the ground.
It's clear that energy innovation and fossil fuels will continue to play a leading role. Energy access.
And that's what happens when a side event at a climate conference decides to promote fossil fuels. The clip we just played was a scene from Monday's COP24 event in Katowice, Poland. At the same time, here in the United States, hundreds of young climate activists gathered in the halls of Congress and showed up at California Representative Nancy Pelosi's office in Washington, D.C., demanding that she definitively back a bill dubbed the Green New Deal. We go now to Poland to speak with Christy Drutman, Sustain Us delegate and the California digital campaigner with 350.org. She's also the creator of a podcast and media series called Brown Girl Green. Welcome to the program, Christy.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for joining us. So first, tell us about this event that took place Monday at the COP24 meeting. We found out, the media reported actually weeks ago, that the Trump administration was going to do this. They were going to promote coal at this event, which doesn't even sound that unusual, given that Poland itself, the host of the COP24 meeting, has been trying to promote coal. So what happened on Monday?
Yeah, so on Monday, a group of indigenous and community leaders and frontline organizers came together to basically shut down Trump's side event panel that was going on at COP24. And our goal of that was to disrupt it and take over the mic and really ridicule what this panel was about, which was ultimately to promote fossil fuels. And we wanted to create a mood of hilarity and just humiliation around the panel, and just saying that we were so disappointed that our administration is supporting these policies and promoting that fossil fuels is the solution when it is the opposite. It's actually against a lot of our principles, which is to keep it in the ground and to keep fossil fuels in the ground. So we started off on Monday just coming into the room, sitting down, taking up space, and about 10, 15 minutes into the panel that was going on at the side event at COP, we all burst out into laughter, and it was collective laughter, just laughing at the ridiculousness of this panel and that was even being put on in the first place. And then we had some amazing speakers. We had an indigenous woman named Leona. We had Vic and Nisa, who are delegates with Sustain Us. And then we had another elder activist and wise leader who's done local environmental justice fights named Jose, who was able to bring in the perspective of frontline community members. And so all of our speakers really grounded us in why this fight is important to Black, Brown, and Indigenous communities across the United States, who will not just like stay silent, that we will fight back and we will demand that there are community-led solutions that are available to get us towards a just transition to a clean energy future. And that was what our action was about. And we ended it by chanting shame on you. And we all collectively left the room and ended in our own chants, claiming people power and uniting together as young people and people from the front lines, talking about our experiences and embracing this like powerful moment that we all collectively shared. And that was how we ended the event. And yeah, that was basically what happened on Monday in summary.
So is it safe to say you shut down the event?
We definitely disrupted it. The event did continue to go on, but I definitely know that our absence from the space definitely left its mark. And I definitely witnessed how much the panelists were shaken up by the incident. And I am most definitely sure it had an impact.
Now, what are the other kinds of events that have been happening on the ground? Generally, these COP meetings, the COP stands for the Conference of Parties, these annual meetings that the UN holds in different parts of the world. There are people who are the official delegates of the countries they represent meeting inside, you know, the fancy halls under the fancy lights. It's basically a fancy international conference. And then on the streets, you generally have representatives of civil society, activists, people who are the sort of uninvited guests, trying to hold those decision makers inside the halls accountable and push them to do the right thing. So what has been happening on the streets of Katowice, Poland, an interesting city, given that it's a coal heartland of Poland?
Yeah, well, from our perspective, what we've witnessed is there was the annual giant climate march that was happening. We as a Sustain Us delegation did not attend that march. There were people on the ground that were plugged into the work that was happening. But what I can speak to is that Sustain Us has been working very closely with DCJ, which is Demand Climate Justice. And it's a group of a bunch of representatives from civil society who have come together to talk about what do community-led solutions look like. And they, them and us, we both tread on the ground between being plugged into civil society, but also having our badges as observers being allowed to be in the space of COP. And it's been really interesting to figure out, like, how do we, as people who do have access to this space, give platform and priority to those that might be out on the streets and not have access to that. And I do want to shout out the Greenpeace Climate Hub that is hosting a lot of space for activists and artivists who don't have access to the COP space. And they've been hosting a lot of panels and art events and different discussion groups that have allowed, I think, people from civil society to plug in. And I think that is where I've witnessed a lot more power and a lot more authentic conversations. I think COP itself is not a space for young, creative, radical people. I think that it's a space where we're actually viewed as like just like not in the conversation, outside the rooms, being played and not being taken seriously. And so I feel like spaces like the Greenpeace Climate Hub that is across the street outside the COP venue that is opening up space for civil society to engage is allowing a lot of those relationships to be built.
Now, Christy, I understand that Poland has attempted to push out, or rather not let in, over a dozen civil society representatives from around the world. There's been some outrage around that from green groups, environmental groups. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, so we have seen, I mean, especially like with 350, I've been hearing about a lot of activists from Eastern Europe not even being allowed to come into Poland and being detained and not even being allowed to come into these spaces. And there is definitely very obvious suppression that's happening out here. And I think that there's also just a lot of people that are being restricted even being in the COP space, where there's all these rules and restrictions on like if you can even have a sign and like disrupt a certain space. Like, I've also seen some people organize, like there was like a human rights huge gathering that happened a few days ago here at COP, and it was a beautiful action. Like, there was a lot of people that came, but they had to stay behind these, like, very, like, barred ropes. And, you know, there was a bunch of security there that was like, you have to get behind these ropes. And so it was like they really wanted to make a powerful demonstration but couldn't because they were worried about getting debadged or detained. And you just see things like that and you're just like, where is the free speech? Where is the democracy in these spaces? And I still question that myself.
Now, also a big piece of news that came out over the weekend was that a very critical, important, or landmark report about the need to keep global warming below 1.5 degrees centigrade was basically derailed by countries that have a vested interest in oil, in particular the U.S., Russia, Saudi Arabia. There was this major debate on Saturday night, and that there were a total of four countries, Kuwait included, that shocked delegates by trying to water down this report that's supposed to be agreed to by all of these delegates. Is this a step back from what happened 3 years ago in Paris with the adoption of the climate accord?
I definitely think it is. I think that our country already pulling out, or, you know, wanting to set that intention of pulling out of the Paris Agreement, already set this like roller coaster down to the road that I think we're on now, where people are just blatantly like denying the climate science. And that is so dangerous because when we have policymakers who are denying what is scientific fact, it leads to down to just such treacherous effects on the ground where people are denying climate change. They're going to become apathetic to taking action. They're not going to realize what the political stakes are in this fight and the vested interests that fossil fuel companies have in this process. And I think that if we have an administration that's denying the climate science, then fossil fuel companies continue to win.
So are you suggesting that Trump's action or announcement when he was elected, that he would pull the U.S. out of the Paris Accord has given cover to these other countries to also start to back out?
I definitely think so. I think, you know, the U.S. has been given a lot of flack from what I've witnessed out here at the climate talks. Like, a lot of countries are pretty mad about that decision and that situation. And I think that there's just overall this sense of like, well, if the U.S. is pulling out, then like, what does that mean for other world leaders? Who also are just like growing wary of this process. And I think this process is going to keep happening, but in terms of its strength and its reliability and who has stake in it, like that is very concerning for me.
And we also heard a few days ago that global carbon emissions have gone up by several percent in the year 2017 to 2018, after years of, you know, a slightly downward trend. They went up in Europe after, you know, sharp drop-offs. It was a flat trend. And so everywhere you were seeing actually greater consumption of fossil fuels at the precise moment when that trend needed to go in the opposite direction. Here in the United States, I know that the Sustain Us movement that you're a part of has been holding these simultaneous actions. So while the event in Katowice, the COP24 is happening, people have been pushing for a Green New Deal. And Nancy Pelosi, who is likely to be the next House Speaker, was once more targeted by probably many of your colleagues in Washington, D.C. on Monday. I'm sure you've been keeping up to date on what's happening there, but can you tell us what took place in Washington, D.C. on Monday?
Like, what are my feelings about it?
Yeah, and how? Why are people, what was the point of these hundreds of organizers showing up in Washington, D.C. to push for a Green New Deal?
Yeah, well, I think that there are thousands of young people across the U.S. today who are just fed up with how our government, even particularly government officials on the left, are dealing with the urgency of the climate crisis. And I think the fact that a bunch of young people came together in such a powerful action and even risked arrests and were willing to, you know, push their names and their reputations and everything that they have on the line for this movement, I think is is really commendable. I think that there's definitely a lot of room for growth in terms of like where our movement is going. And I think that the Green New Deal allows for a narrative that seems a little bit more accessible that hasn't been in the climate movement before, where people are starting to see it in headlines. People are starting to see where this narrative is going. And I think that this action that happened on Monday kind of solidified it a bit more, that this isn't just talk, that young people are going to stand up and not just keep going with old tactics or old strategies, that they're going to keep putting the pressure on and put it on the leaders that they know can make the biggest impact in a timely manner. And I think that that kind of culture shift will hopefully spark more of these conversations moving forward.
Christy, I'm wondering what is expected now in Poland in the next few days with the COP24 meeting. Usually these meetings run about 2 weeks long. There's a lot of discussion, a lot of panels, and then there's expected to be some culmination at the end of it. And I understand that this particular COP was very much focused on the implementation of the Paris Accord. So how is that going?
Yeah, well, they've been working on this Paris rulebook and are really just focusing on like how are countries around the world going to reduce their greenhouse gas emissions and like really push that forward and make commitments. We as a delegation at Sustain Us are most concerned about climate finance this year and are trying to keep tabs on that. And that's like the Green Climate Fund, which the US and other developed countries as well as developing countries are a part of. And it's a giant fund where countries around the world are supposed to be putting in a bunch of money to provide technology, to provide the funds for technology to create this just transition for a clean energy future in developing countries. And from what we see, like there's supposed to be money in like the billions and trillions, and currently like there's barely even a dent made in that. And there's been talks that this fund may be drained as soon as next year. And that is really dangerous for our communities, especially our communities who are on the front lines of this climate crisis. And I think for us as a delegation, we're really trying to keep tabs on that and trying to connect with others to figure out what's happening behind closed doors on that issue. And I think a lot of people actually here at COP are concerned with the concept of climate finance. And that's something that I think is our top priority that we're trying to think about and also like keep coming back to COP thinking about moving forward, because I think that's where a lot of power lays that goes unseen, especially in the media. Is how are we as developed countries giving our fair share to developing countries when it comes to our global emissions? And I think a lot of people don't think about the distribution of power and pollution in those ways. So I think that's something that we're really going to be keeping our eye on and most likely writing about, depending on how this all pans out this week. Mm-hmm.
Money in the end is always what it comes down to. Are there other actions that you foresee or that you can tell us about that are coming up by, you know, people out on the streets outside the halls of the conference?
Well, there is an action happening this week that young Indigenous leaders will be leading. And it's just going to be talking a lot about Indigenous representation and self-determination. And there's other people in our delegation, particularly our Indigenous delegate, Michael, who could definitely speak more about that. And we're hoping to be publishing and talking about that this week. But I think in terms of other big actions, I think that's like still to be determined. I think today we're trying today and this week, we're really trying to figure out like what does this week mean for us as climate activists? And I think Monday's action was like the start of that, but I think it's not the end. So to be determined, but we'll definitely keep you in the loop about that.
Are you noticing that young folks are really taking the lead on this? I mean, it feels like to me, many of the actions that seem the most effective these days, whether they're legal actions against the government or the activism on the ground, is being led by young people like yourself.
Yeah, I would like to say that like young people definitely have a huge stake in it, but our action even today was very intergenerational, I would like to say. I'd say that different people play different roles. Some people were just like trying to like help us out with press and connecting us with the right contacts. Some people were helping with photography and videography that were older. And even two of our speakers are definitely like older folks. So I would like to say that like this action in particular that occurred on Monday was very intergenerational. So I would like to believe and want to have faith that it can't just be up to young people to make a difference in this movement. I think that we provide a lot of the energy and some of the idealism and some of the fire that the movement needs to be pushing forward. But I think from a strategic and sustainable long-term standpoint, we need older folks on board who have the resources and who have the pathways and who have the access that can really provide us the power we need to make our movements long-lasting and can help us want to be long-term activists, not just as young people also.
Right. There is much to be shared with the experiences of those who've been activists for a long time. Give out a website where people can find out more. And also, Christy, where can they search online? Are there Twitter handles that you can suggest for people who want to get news? Because, you know, as usual, we don't get as much coverage. This should be front page news in the U.S. media, in our mainstream media, and it isn't. It's in the back pages.
Definitely. I mean, in terms of following us at Sustain Us, you can follow us on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, and our handle is at Sustain Us, Sustain US. Mm-hmm. And we'll be on the ground reporting and trying to push things forward. Other people who have been like really pushing things, especially on this action, are I'd love to give a shout out to Democracy Now! Especially for holding things down for us during this action and really helping us with like filming and live streaming and just other progressive news outlets that are like focused on getting the real story, not just like a fabricated generic image of like what this was, but actually trying to understand like who are the voices we need to center the most in this fight.
I want to thank you so much and good luck to you, Christy, and stay safe and stay warm. I know it's pretty cold up there.
Yeah, it's freezing. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Christy Drutman is a Sustain Us delegate to the COP24 meeting in Katowice, Poland. She's also the California digital campaigner with 350.org and the creator of a podcast and media series called Brown Girl Green. She joined us live from Katowice. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and now on Instagram at RU with Sonali.